You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is actually my first episode, and I'm sitting down with Reef the Lost Cause. Reef is a very talented and deeply committed underground rapper, and he graciously had me in his home. We sat down today and talked about things like what it means to be successful, the aging process, and we talked about how to balance passion and profit in your craft. I think it's a really great conversation, and I'm really happy that it's my first episode. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, cool. I appreciate you getting close.
No, it's all good.
Okay, so when I first came up with this idea, actually, you were one of the first people I thought of interviewing.
Awesome.
Because one of the first questions I had thought of is about, and I think every artist deals with this, balancing passion and profit. Mm-hmm. And the idea of how to make money off of your passion without making you not like it and not be passionate about it anymore. And that's a journey that I think takes it probably different shapes and phases. Where are you now on that journey?
I'm somewhere between, you know, enjoying the freedom that comes with being my own boss and kind of, you know, I have a family now. It was different when it was just me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely been trying to look at different ways to continue doing what I love, continuing to make a living from it, but also find other sources of income.
Okay.
Through, you know, branching out. I've been hosting a lot of parties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my own radio show now that we're looking at trying to get sponsorship for that.
Cool.
It's just a SoundCloud thing right now, but we've been talking to different companies about maybe picking it up and getting involved in that. I've been, you know, doing auditions, going on auditions for things, just trying to stay in the arts.
Let's say, stay in your wheelhouse, because
right,
your voice and your
right.
presence as a performer,
right.
that's what you already
right,
do.
Right. But I've been a lot, very lucky, because there's a lot of people that have never been able to make any type of money or any type of living off of what they love to do.
Absolutely.
So, just the fact that I've been able to do it, there was a point in my life where I felt like I had to reach a certain level, a certain you know, status, so to speak, you know, where I wanted to be able to buy my mom a house, and live comfortable. And that changed from, well, okay, if I can just survive, then it'll be. Now it's to a point where it's like, you know what, I've been doing this for, you know, almost 15 years now. And if it comes down to it, to where, you know, I have to get, you know, a part-time job or something else to keep me, you know, still interested and still alive and happy and you know, a part of the scene and a part of the arts, but at the same time helping to, you know, push my family more forward, then I'll be okay with that and more comfortable with that.
I see.
I think that
it's like a humbling experience.
It really is. It really is. I think, you know, when it's just you, you can just kind of live by your own rules, by your own seat. But when you have mouths to feed and you have other people that you have to take care of, you start, all that other stuff kind of goes out the window.
Right.
But also there's been, you know, I have a support system. You know, I have a woman in my life that is extremely supportive. I have, you know, family and friends that continue to push me forward. And we live a very simple life. And I think when you are able to eliminate all those extra, you know, the fly gear, the nice car and all that, and you just kind of like want to have a roof over your head and food on your in your belly and clothes on your back and your kids are okay. I think when you eliminate that pressure, it makes it a lot more easier to live.
Well, actually, I think what you're doing with, maybe you're aware of it or not, is that by simplifying, you actually are allowing like real genuine happiness to occur, because
exactly.
I don't know if it's true, but I had read an article once that there was a group, I think it's the Danes, that they're considered the happiest culture on the planet, not because their lives are any better than ours, but their expectations are so
low.
just don't have those ridiculous inflated expectations.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people that get into this, they only see that, you know, the Jay-Z, Eminem level. They don't know about, you know, I have a plethora of friends that, you know, they make a living doing what they love to do, and they're not rich, they're not famous, but they're happy, you know what I mean? Because they're not going into some, like, you know, my support system won't allow me to just go get some stupid job that I'm going to hate every day. They want me to keep trying
that's
and keep
cool.
pushing forward, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's the most important thing, is having that system in place to where people that love you and care about you are there and support you, and know that sometimes it's going to be steak and lobster and sometimes it's going to be oodles and noodles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm up some months and we're, you know, we're balling out, we're living it up, and some months I don't have it. And, you know, it's when that support system kicks in, you know what I mean? And it's rough sometimes. It can be very, like you said, it's very humbling. It's very, very hard sometimes to to be like, you know, damn, like, you know, this month was great. You know, I had mad shows. I had mad, you know, CD sales. And this month is not as good. You know
what
I
mean? Yeah, for sure.
The whole thing I've learned about that is that the good times and the bad times, you never remember the bad times when the good times are happening.
Yeah.
You never remember the good times when the bad times are happening. So when you're not doing great, you're dwelling in that, and you can't remember how great it was when you were. And when you're doing great, you can't remember how it sucks that you don't have money, because you have it at that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, for sure.
I think everyone goes through that. But the key that I always try to tell people is like, you know, what is it that you want to get out of it? If your goal is to just be rich and famous, then you're going to have a really hard time if that doesn't happen. So it's not lowering expectations. It's just going into it, being realistic.
And being flexible, because I think your perspective changes. I mean, I think that's a part of being an artist, is not to be too pigeonholed and tolerate change.
Right.
One thing I wanted to ask you, you had mentioned being a family man, which I think is really cool, the idea of when you watch a kid discover something, it really kind of brings you back to when, you know, you take for granted what you understand, and then you watch a child discover something, and it's can be so stimulating and exciting fun, you know?
Yeah,
and like,
absolutely.
What has that been like for you? I mean, you get to, like, I'm just wondering if it's inspiring to your craft at all.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's inspiring in more ways than one. It's inspiring because it's like, you know, there are times where, you know, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go and go away for a month, but I have to, because it's my way of feeding this person and helping out and contributing to my family. It's my job. It's my livelihood. So that motivation comes in where it's like, you know, there's no, I can't, you have to do it.
Right.
You know, it's like, there's no, like, I can't go right now. I can't do it. You
can't
have to get up
out
and
of
go.
Work.
You can't call out of work. You have to go. And also just, you know, knowing that it's bigger than me, it's greater than me, and then there's a whole other world when you're just living for you. And it's not like I'm making it seem like having a family is like the end all be all, but when you're just living for you, I think, you know, you're very selfish. You don't you don't have to worry about anything else. So I think that the motivation of you know, the inspiration that comes from having a son, and I have another son on the way, it's just like, you know, their lives and their experiences are going to be dictated on how I carry myself and how I live my life. So I want to show them at a very young age that you can follow your dreams, and you can, you know, be creative, and you can, you don't have to follow these, you know, there's this plan of you go to school, you go to college, you get a job, and that's that.
Right.
And it's okay to take the road less traveled.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that inspires me too, because it makes me want to be successful more, so they can say, you know what, my dad did it, I can do it too. If they choose to follow that path of security, God bless them. I'll support whatever they do.
Cool.
But
that's cool.
I want them to see that, you know, daddy was out here doing his own thing in his own world, and I can do that too. You know, and especially having, you know, my son's autistic, so, you know, he's going to have a lot of challenges and face a lot of things that a lot of, you know, quote-unquote normal kids won't have to deal with. And I just want him to always have that freedom and that, you know, knowledge that he can just be himself and he'll still be okay. You know what I mean?
Well, that leads me to the next question. I intend to make part of the platform of this interview process about success. I do think success is really subjective. I think we touched on that.
Yes.
Because it just depends on the person. Mm-hmm. But I want to specifically talk to you about legacy, because being a father, I think there's personal legacy, which you were just touching on, and then there's professional legacy. And I think it's really similar to success, but different enough.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about, like, how, what legacy means to you.
Well, I think, you know, it's very important to me that when it's all said and done, that people, you know, remember me as someone that, you know, contributed to the foundation of hip hop, Philly hip hop specifically, because I rep the city with, you know, my heart and my soul. And I mean, there's
That's another reason I wanted to ask,
because
I'm trying to do like a Philly season.
Yeah, hoping you're a part of Philly season. Okay. But I mean, just like, you know, just today, there was some there was a little dust up with a kid. Put out a song. Well, his crew put out a song, and I didn't particularly like it. You know, I pretty much gave my honest opinion, and this dude went way off the deep end with his reaction. He couldn't take constructive criticism. Made like a video about me and was like talking, and the responses from people. There's been like, it's been all day online. It's like hundreds of people from around the city went off. They were like, can I curse?
Yeah, of course.
A fuck you to this kid dialogue started, where it was like, this is a person that has done so much for this city. This is a person that has done so much musically. You can check my page.
I saw a little bit of it. I just didn't want to bring it up on my own.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that type of stuff without, you know, the money, all the other stuff, like the respect, the legacy of this person has put his stamp on this culture. To me, that's something that's going to outlast any other accolades or whatever. Is that when my name comes up, it's going to be remembered as someone that supported, someone that showed love, and someone that, you know, years from now, my music is still, you know, albums I put out 10 years ago still sell. People that saw me perform 10 years ago still come to shows. So when you talk about legacy, what you're really talking about is lasting and, and foundation and being remembered and respected, you know what I mean? And for me, that's always going to be my legacy, is the love and respect that I've gotten from peers and people throughout the years. Personal legacy is this. This is my personal legacy, you know what I'm saying? But professional legacy is always going to be about the respect and the art. And I know that may sound cheesy or whatever, but it's the truth. You know, it really, because there are people that came and made a ton of money and were hugely successful, you know, at that time, but they were flashes in the pan. And people don't remember them. They don't remember what it is that they bought, that feeling that they got when they heard them for the first time. Or, you know what I mean? And that's something that's always going to be important to me. That's why whenever I do a show, whether it's, you know, 30,000 or 30 people, I try to give that same energy and love, because I want those people to leave and be like, wow, that guy was really, really, really special. So that's what, to me, is always going to be my legacy, is just that I always gave my all and I always showed love and respect and was humble and sweet and kind to people, because I don't want them to remember me as some asshole rapper that thought he was awesome. I want them to remember me as someone that really cared about the culture and really wanted to try to move it forward, you know, especially in this city, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so one of the structures of the interviews I want to do is ask people how they think, what they think, in like a conceptual realm, which we've been covering. But I also want to talk about like how your brain actually works, like scientifically. So a question I have for you as a young father, I don't think people really consider how much sleep goes into your ability to be creative.
I'm sure
sleep deprivation is a huge issue. And you're saying you're expecting another. It's only coming around the bend again. And so like actually how your brain works, and like, you know, and talk to me about feeling creative and those days, and whether or not, you know, sleep was a factor, or just like how you feel. Like there's the mechanics of the brain, and then there's like what the brain is capable of. I want to talk about the mechanics right now.
Well, the mechanics for me, creative wise, you know, sleep, surprisingly, you know, I do all right in the sleep department, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even talk to her. She might feel a little differently.
Is that a father thing? Yeah, you get away with it more?
Yeah, I definitely get away with the sleep more than her. But as far as the creative and the way my mind works, it's always, it comes in spurts. It's I haven't written a rhyme or done anything creative wise in like, I don't know, like a week, but maybe tomorrow or maybe this weekend, the wheels will start turning. I'll hear a beat, or I'll hear someone else's.
Yeah, how does
song.
It start? It usually starts
for me.
Okay,
I know
a
lot of people that just can just start writing. They just start feeling. For me, it usually starts with the beat, the music first.
Okay.
And it, that gets the juices flowing, and then I'll sit down with my phone. I don't write with a pen and pad anymore. I'm digital now.
Right.
I sit with my phone.
Modern man.
I sit with my phone. And, you know, I'll write, and I usually, I used to just, whatever came out, that's what was what. Now I go back the next day or a couple hours later and reread it. Edit it out.
What was the rationale before about not wanting to go back to edit it? Feel more raw and real?
Because it was like, yo, it was raw. It was real. It was like, this is what it is.
I mean? No,
but
I get that.
Like,
because that's what this show's going to be. I don't intend to edit any of it.
All right, cool. But
so
like,
when did it switch for you? When did you make that decision to go, you know what?
When I started studying the masters of the craft, when I started studying, not just in rap, but just, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, producers like Rick Rubin, Timbaland, and, you know, different, and Kanye, I think is a genius. But what these guys do is they start with a skeleton, and then they add some meat, they add some blood, some vessels. And then they'll go in and destroy it and rebuild it and then add more and then take more. And it's this like...
So there's an impermanence to it that they welcome that.
It takes them, you know, sometimes it takes them months to do a song, which I always thought was bizarre. But as I get older, I understand now that it's about getting it until you feel it's right. And a lot of times I would do stuff and I would know it wasn't right. Like, I listen to old stuff and I cringe.
You should.
Because I'm like...
But that means you've evolved.
Yeah, I'm trying to. So I listen to old stuff and I'm like, ugh, like, why didn't I just fix that? Like, that's not right. That I didn't say that the way I would have want to say it.
Okay.
I should have enunciated that word better.
But even the back then it. You knew kind of too, and you still put it out? Is that
I kind of felt like that where it was more, it was laziness.
Well, no, I was going to say maybe it was impulsive, but
it was more laziness than, yeah, it was more laziness. It was more like, let's just get this over with. Because that's one thing for me, I know a lot of people love being in the studio. They love writing and recording. Oh, okay. I don't.
You don't.
I don't. I don't like the, Ice-T once said that he wishes he could just say the words, like think about what he wants to say, yeah, and it's just done and recorded.
Impose them onto a track.
I can't stand, I know a lot of people that love to stay in the studio for days. Like anyone that's ever recorded me or any of my crew, they, you know, they call me Spider-Man because I come in, I'm like, and then I'm gone. You know what I mean? Maybe that's, well, it should be more Flash than Spider-Man.
Yeah, right?
Speed. But I get in there, I try to get out because I just don't like the, I like the creative process on my own.
Okay.
I don't like the whole, like, you know, having to be in a room full of people doing it, going over it again. But now I've gotten to the point where I know that that's what will make the best music.
So you can tolerate that now.
I can tolerate it now. I have to, because if you want to, like you said, evolve, if you want your music or your craft to grow, you have to grow with it. And I think a lot of times that laziness and that, like, you know, just that I don't care, you know, that attitude of like, eh, it's cool, it's good enough. Like, I don't want that anymore. I want to feel like leaving, like this is, I just did a song the other day and like I left and I listened to it last night and I was like, I have to do this over again.
Okay.
And 5 years ago, I would have never done that.
Okay.
I'm like, it is what it is. It's cool. It's fine.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, this isn't good enough. And I know I could do better. So I'm going to go back probably this week or next week and re-record it. Because why not? Why would you not try at least to do the best you could?
Because the work is what's going to stand in the end.
Right. But see, that's the key word is work. It turns into work. Okay. So once it starts to feel like work, that's when it's like, ah, this isn't fun. You know what I mean?
And hence, that was the opening question.
Right.
You know, how do you tolerate it when it's not fun and pleasurable?
You either get it right or you retreat like I did a lot of times, but then that hinders you because, you know, you need to be able to have that discipline. And I think that that's something that, you know, I've always kind of prided myself on is like not having that discipline and not having that seriousness. It's like whatever comes up, comes out, whatever flows, it's all natural, it's all raw. I'm the lost cause. I don't care about none of it. But now as an older person, it's like, yeah, that shit's cool, man. But if you really want the best product, if you really want to try to make the best music that you can, you are going to have to. No one's perfect. No one can just go in and do it one take and be done. Mm-hmm. I used to think that was the shit to be able to go in and like, oh, I just did it in one take. I'm out of here. But now, like, you know, it's okay to do it a couple more times so you feel like you're getting it right. You know? And I never used to do that. But that's just, like you said, it's just getting older. You know,
getting evolving. You know? Patience and other virtues coming up. Yeah.
Right.
So I want to ask you a question. Just because, you know, I don't know anything about this. I don't have a fan base. And I just love the idea of, you know, relationships. So part of this platform of this podcast will be about connection, the concept of connection. What I'm hoping is that the audience will connect with this artist and have some common denominators and feel connected to what you're saying. But I want to know about how your connection works with your fans, how that relationship goes and how to nurture it, what that feels like. Because, I mean, like I said, it's foreign to me. I don't have fans.
Yeah, you will.
But you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like trying to explain, like, you know, fatherhood to someone. It's a relationship that it takes to actually, you have to be there to know what it is.
Right.
And so to me, that's curious. And how do you build intimacy with strangers? I mean, that's what a fan base is.
I mean, for me, it's just always just being, treating them like family, first and foremost. And being, I know a lot of artists that are like, you know, they're dicks. You know what I mean? They're really standoffish and they're really, you know, but because they're popular, they have, you know, successful sales and things like that, they're able to get away with that. I'm not in that position. I'm in the position where every potential fan I make, I have to try to keep them around as long as possible.
Right.
I have to try to show them as much love. And also for me, it's mind-blowing too. It's like this person was affected by something that I made and to the point where they spent their money and they drove X amount of hours and they stood in a line in the rain and they came in and they jumped around and they spilled beer and they had the best time of their life. And after the show, all they want to do is say thank you and take a picture.
Yeah.
And for people to not be able to do that, they lose people like that. I keep them around because I really genuinely am excited as they are.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy that they love, like, I love the love.
Mm-hmm.
I love the love. It keeps me going. It's all I have. I tell fans all the time, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If it not wasn't for you, I wouldn't be around. So for me, that relationship and nurturing, it's not some contrived idea. It's naturally who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm genuinely personable. I'm friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome to me for people to want to come and show love, so I want to show it right back. And
yeah,
that blows their mind. But what they don't understand is that without that love, without that respect and encouragement, and you know, them coming out and supporting, I don't exist. So they, yeah, I think fans need to understand how important they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're more important than anybody involved in this scheme of things. And like, it really bothers me and kind of pisses me off when I see people not be nice to their fans. It's
yeah,
like, who the fuck you think you are?
Yeah.
Like, it's so, I think that's one of the main reasons I've lasted as long as I have, is that people genuinely know, or have ever met me, know that I'll come out and I'll take as many pictures as you want. Mm-hmm. I'll sign whatever you want, because mm-hmm, this might not last forever.
Right.
I understand that, and I understand that it could be gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm here, while it's
mm-hmm
happening,
mm-hmm,
while I'm in the moment, I want them to know that I genuinely, truly love and appreciate
mm-hmm
that they're giving me that. So that's how I nurture it, is that it's from the heart, you know.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
So I mean, I've seen it in person, you know, in another country.
Yeah.
And so that leads me to travel. I mean, you'd said that being a family man, it's hard to step mm-hmm away, and I get that. But on the pro side of traveling, what is a place that you've really, you know, got a kick out of?
Amsterdam.
Oh, the obvious reasons.
Yeah, Amsterdam. Amsterdam was beautiful. London was cool. I've only been twice. I can't wait to get back over there.
Mm-hmm.
I love Switzerland. I love all of Europe. Australia has been close, and we're trying to find, I mean, it was supposed to happen last February.
Yeah, I'm dying to go too. I'm trying to go.
It was supposed to happen last February. It just didn't work out.
I'll cross my fingers for
you.
Yeah,
thank you. But as far as like, you know, just, I mean, the whole, all everywhere, man. I mean, you know, Boston is like a second home now. I have family all over this country, New York.
Yeah.
I love the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I love
don't feel like you have to do a role. I feel so bad.
No.
Any person's like, I didn't call my city.
No, but like, yeah, like New Orleans, like,
right,
you know,
right,
just the fact that, you know, I'm from West Philly, man. Like, you know, I can honestly say that 90% of the, maybe even 95, I don't want to get into general statistics, but almost all of my friends that I grew up with and came up with, they never, you know, they'll never get to see these places. They'll never go.
Right. So that's another, do you think that's another thing
so
that keeps you humble?
It keeps me humble, and also makes me enjoy the experience. There's been times where it's like, you know, maybe the show wasn't that great, or the hotel sucked,
right,
or, you know, I didn't like the, you know, I don't know, just the nights where it's not great,
right,
but you're like, wait a minute, I'm in a
right
whole nother area of the world.
So what do you do with that knowledge when you come back? Because you're a guy who, like you said, you're very adamant and proud of your city. So you're born and raised. Not everybody sticks around to where they're from. You
right
know, they go
right
to other places. So
right
you've traveled the world, essentially. I mean, you've been to a lot of places
right
at the
right
point.
Right.
And then you come back to the same place that you're from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do with all that, you know, cultural knowledge and awareness? Is it, do you get psyched when you're home? Like, or does it feel sometimes like, you know, there's more to see and
mm-hmm
you're hungry
mm-hmm
to see more?
Well, the thing with touring artists, most of them will tell you this, is that the moment you're gone, you can't wait to get back. And the moment you're back, you can't wait to leave again.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's never, you're never, it's like that restlessness, that
yeah
wanderlust. It carries with you, but then at the same time, it's like, man, I miss home, you know,
yeah,
because it's home.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that if you can find that balance to where you can, you know, go away, come back, and then go away again, I think it's important to always have something to look forward to. So
mm-hmm
if you're home right now, but you know, I'm going to Canada at the end of the month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll be going for a couple weeks. I'm not really looking forward to it because, you know, he's about to start a new school. It's a lot going on.
Right.
You know, we're about to get the house remodeled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm excited because it's something to look forward to. It's an experience that's going to happen, and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to meet some fans. I'm going to rock some show. I'm going to do what I love to do.
Right.
And I'll probably be sad, but I'm also going to enjoy it. It's a you know, quintessential just torn artist. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so happy that I'm away, but I miss my home. And
yeah
then when I'm home, it's like, I can't wait to get out of here again. But then
yeah
you're like, oh, but what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never feel like 100% about where you're at in
yeah
the world. You
yeah
almost
yeah
feel like you don't have a home because you're just like, you know, when you are gone so much and then you come back, a good friend of mine, Brother Ali, he's on the road way more than I am.
Yeah.
He has a lyric, I don't want to mess it up, but it's essentially saying like, you know, I'm fine. Like, I woke up in the middle of the night next to my girl, and I'm like, who is this stranger in my bed? Because he didn't realize he was home.
He
was home. He was gone for like 6 months, you
yeah
know? So
yeah
when you do that and you come back, it's really hard to get a routine going
yeah
when you're constantly moving and then back. It's like you're always in between. So it's rough.
So, but, I mean, you talk so much about your music. And so, do you have a hobby? Do you have a genuine passionate interest outside of music? You know, because you got family, that's a full-time
gig. Right.
You got music, which is your full-time gig.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, and I know this is going to sound so slovenly and all, but, like, I love the basic pleasures of life. I love going to the beach. I love the ocean. I love to swim.
Uh-huh.
I love sitting here watching TV, baking up, eating pizza, being fat and lazy. Like most of my hobbies and pleasures are just lounging.
R&R.
Because like you said, you're either, you know, doing music or dealing with, and that's both are full-time jobs.
Yeah.
So in between, you know, I've
disconnecting and chilling,
going out with my friends to the bar, going to concerts, just having fun, you know what I mean, on a basic level.
And has your sense of fun changed as you've gotten older?
Absolutely. It's really hard for me to go to, you know, it's really hard for me to, I don't want to sound like a dick, but it's hard for me to go to shows a lot more now anymore if I'm not playing.
Don't explain that to me.
You know, if I'm not performing or I can't get backstage, like it's weird because I'm so used to being on the other side of the curtain. I'm spoiled with that. So
spoiled.
I can't. I'm not used to being. I'm not used to being in the mix anymore, and I get like antsy because I want to get up there and rock too. But you know, it depends on what the show. If it's like a rap concert, I get like that. But like, you know, like we just went and saw John Legend. That was dope. Like we sat outside. It was nice. But you know, I don't know. And then also just, you know, I'm older now, so it's like going out and
Do you have the energy level?
Not as much as I did anymore. Yeah. I can still get it in, but then it's like I'm hurting for 2 days now.
Right.
You know, I go out on Friday, and it's like that's the weekend. That's it. You know, I went out and party Friday. Now Saturday and Sunday, I'm like, the whole time. That sucks.
Well, for me, getting older, like hangovers and such, recovery is more mental than physical. It's just like in a sad mindset.
Right.
And like,
what
do you do to get out of that? Because like, I've gotten into like meditation and all these other things about mind over your body.
Right.
That you can control your feelings, physical feelings. You can actually manage pain with your mind.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever considered, you know, finding, you know, different ways? As you're getting older, it's like sometimes it's the only option because your body's just giving out slowly but surely.
I should look into that because honestly it is like a very depressive, like, you know, you come down, like, you know, this weekend was, you know, super fun. Like I did a lot this weekend, and then Monday rolled around and I literally was just like you know what
life.
I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, like this was, you know, a packed full weekend full of fun, and then you get back to the real world and it's like fuck, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I usually just am depressed until it's time to go have fun again. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, it's weird because your body can almost sense, because it's like, what's today? Tuesday?
But
like Wednesday, and like usually Thursday is my like night out. You know, that's when I head out.
That's
how you can tell I'm older. I go out before the weekend because the weekend's amateur night. You know what I mean?
Course,
like Thursday nights when I'm like
out
with my homies.
You.
So, but yeah, I need to find something because, like you said, it takes its toll now. It's not like you can just get up and like, oh, that was fun, let's go do it again. Now it's like, oh, you got to like, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any like long-term goals now, you know, with where you are today, the present person that you are today? Mm-hmm. And are they different from what they were maybe like even a year ago or if not 5 years ago? Like what's the 5-year, you know?
Well, the 5-year plan, if, you know, everyone has one. Well, not everyone, but, like, you know, that's that we're in that age group now where you start talking about the 5-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 32 now. Wait, am I 32? Yeah, I'm 32 now.
No, I think, aren't you like 33?
I'll be 33 in December.
Oh, okay.
See, you don't try to put a, I'm 32 now.
Extra candle on there.
Yeah, I'm 32 now. I'll be 33 at the end of this year.
Okay.
But yeah, so 5 years from now, I'll be 37, 38. I would like to by now have by then be financially a little bit more financially stable, wherever that comes, whether it's through arts or whatever else, because like I said before, it's regardless of that, I still want to be. But, you know, I don't know about being 37, 38 still.
Are you hesitant about aging? I don't mean to cut you off, but
I'm hesitant about aging in the field that I'm in.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And that's where it gets scary because it's like, you know, I know people that
the young bloods come in. And
young bloods come in too, but I also know people that are, you know, were doing this up until about 40, 42, and then the light kind of went out, and like now they're kind of like, what next? And I don't want that. I didn't finish school. I don't have a degree. I don't have, you know, I've never really worked a day in my life as far as I don't know how to build shit. I'm not a handyman.
Right.
I can't get a job in that field.
Right.
I have two children. Well, 1.5, another child will be here by then. You know, I want to get a bigger house. Yeah. I want to be able to, you know, really support my family. The simple basic things. I'm not looking for a big payday or anything like that, but I think the realistic goals of just wanting to be a little bit more stable and wanting to have nicer things and
is there
and
a cutoff in your field? I mean, is there, like, I hadn't thought about it. You make a good point.
I think
like, is there no such thing as a 40 plus rapper?
No, there are. I mean, most of the rappers that are big right now are 40 plus, but they were successful when they were 26.
Right, right, right.
You know, Jay-Z's, the Nas's, the Eminem's, these are people they were around way back, but then you have people that are independent.
Right.
That are, you know, my boys, Dilated Peoples, they're in their late 30s, early 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still touring. They're still making money off that, mm-hmm. their music and stuff. So it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of...
And being independent, you don't have to fit necessarily in a box
absolutely.
As much.
But at the same time, how much more do I have to say? How much more...
Is that what it comes down to, you think?
I think so. I think people run out of things to say. Or they run out of their style ages, and it doesn't keep up with what's current and what these young guys want
to
do.
Well, that's
hear,
another great question I was going to ask about, you know, being independent, you don't have to deal with trends as much as the mass market because, you know, you don't have to, like I said, put it in a box.
Right.
You're just a little more
freedom
to be
yourself.
Well, it
was that way, but if you notice right now with the way things are, everyone's pretty much going independent. You know, major label artists are
I think that's
free.
Just because the record label just, you
They're falling apart, but now you have to understand that now they're taking over things that we used to, like Europe. Europe was all indie art, you know, all underground rappers for years. Now you got the big boys coming. They would never go over there back in the day. They would do the festivals here and there.
Right.
Now they're touring over there just as much as us. It's like money, the shift is happening.
Okay.
I'm watching it.
Right.
I'm watching
it. Is it a bad shift?
If you're in my position, it is. Because now you have the people that...
Sticking their hand in the same pot.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what's to be done? I mean, do you have a vision for that?
I don't. I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, take my... I hate even using the word brand because I'm not a brand, but it is something that you have to...
Right.
I'm trying to take my steez, my whatever you want to call it, to a level that it is... solidified and will always be profitable no matter what it is that I am doing. If I'm able to, whether it's living off the back catalog, whether it's living off of touring, whether it's living off of, you know, merchandise, whatever it is, it has to flow a little bit more. Like we talked about earlier, the whole great 1 month, bad the next, it can't continue like that.
Okay.
I can't be 37, 38 living like that. Right now, I feel like I can't be living like that right now, but I still have a little bit of leg room. But I feel like once you start to age in the 40, do you still want to be taking shows for, you know, X amount of dollars that you know you're worth more, but you have to take it because you need the money.
Right,
you know, I think that's the most hard thing about being an independent artist sometimes is that depending on where you're at that month or that week, someone could say, well, look, I know you normally get $1,000, but I have, you know, $600. And you're like, all right, let's do it. Because you got to get that money at that time.
Right.
So it's very unstable. But that's the price you pay for the freedom. That's the price you pay.
Right. Now, we've been joking around and projecting you as being this old man. But the question is, are you old enough to be a mentor? Has that happened
Well,
yet?
That's funny you say that because I've actually been...
Are you considered young in the mentor world? Or are you?
No. It's my old mentor. When I was younger, I got in some trouble and I got put in a program called Don't Fall Down in the Hood, run by this incredibly charismatic blind man named Archie Leacock. And he's actually about to run for city council.
Oh.
And he reached out to me recently about helping him with campaigning. And in exchange, he was talking about me possibly coming, working at the program I was in.
Oh,
doing
amazing.
Doing like a hip-hop workshop things like that, full circle. So that's something that I'm very excited about because I think that if, again, we're talking about making money but also doing something that is close to the heart and is still creative. So if I can get in there and do a... We're talking about me doing like a hip-hop workshop with the kids where, you know, I come in twice a week and we, you know, write
together.
Being
a staff member,
Right. And it's something that I could get up in the morning and feel good about and not like I'm not about to go clean some fucking toilet. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's something that the mentoring is something that I want to definitely. I did it for a while a couple years ago. It fell off a little bit just for different reasons, but it's something that I'm very... serious about, but I just want to make sure that I'm able to give my all, because last time that I did it, I was still like I had my hand in too many pots, so my class has suffered, but you know, it is what it is, you know.
Yes, for sure. I think your little man is making a perfect segue.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate letting me into your home. I can hear the hustle and the bustle. So I'll take this as an opportunity to say thanks, and that's the end of the show.
Thank you very much, Liz. Thanks. Elizabeth, I'm sorry. I know you hate that, but it's just, you know.
I'll let you slide.
You're all right. Cool. Thanks for listening. Be sure to show your support through comments and reviews.